Support for WPR comes from 4imprint, providers of promotional products for businesses, including embroidered apparel, trade show items, and logoed business gifts. More is at 4imprint.com. 4imprint, for certain. Support for WPR comes from Rutabaga Paddle Sports, offering canoes, kayaks, and advice for anyone wanting to experience solitude on Wisconsin waterways. 2620 Rimrock Road in Madison or rutabagashop.com.
When good dogs go bad, there's one man who's their best friend. Cesar Millan.
No dog is too much for me to handle. I rehabilitate dogs, I train people. I am the dog whisperer.
Cesar Millan is one of the most beloved and controversial figures in our dog-saturated society. He's the star of National Geographic Channel's hit show, Dog Whisperer. He's also the author of several books, including A Member of the Family, written with co-author Melissa Jo Peltier. Born in Mexico, Cesar Millan is not a big man, but as amazed viewers can attest, he has an astonishing ability to make himself top dog and tame the most ferocious canines. The Dog Whisperer told Steve Paulson it's a matter of treating dogs like dogs and giving them what they need.
Most of the dogs are treated like a human. They get affection, affection, affection. And then every once in a while, they get a walk. Every once in a while, they get reminded what the rules, boundaries, and limitations are. And that makes them feel not safe. They really are looking forward for a direction from their pack leaders. And their pack leaders right away tell them what the rules, boundaries, and limitations are. And then after that, when the dog is in a calm, submissive state, then the pack leader plays with them and rewards them, you know, exercise, discipline, then affection. And so that's the concept that I follow. That is the concept that I grew up with, you know, with my grandfather. Always say, never work against Mother Nature.
How much exercise do most dogs need?
Well, minimum, remember, most of the people go away 10 hours a day. So dogs are going to spend a lot of time inside the house. Minimum, you know, before they go to work will be ideal for a dog, you know, not necessarily ideal for the human, but ideal for the dog. 30 minutes with a backpack on, which intensifies it to an hour, you know. So a lot of times people just walk a dog 10, 15 minutes just to get it out of the way, but didn't really remove the energy of the dog, you know. We have to fulfill the body, meaning we have to challenge the body. Then we have to fulfill the mind. We have to remind the mind, rules, boundaries, limitations, and of course, after that, we reward what we accomplish. Calm, submissive state, then affection.
And what would you say makes a dog a good dog?
Well, what I call a perfect dog is a dog who is balanced. To me, a balanced dog is a dog that is very calm, very open, you know, meaning calm, submissive state. That, to me, is a perfect dog, especially when you experience, in my situation, a pack of 30, 40, 50 dogs, and they're all in the same state of mind. You know, I created transformation from aggression, fear, or anxiety, whatever state of mind they came with. My goal is always to send them back to that peaceful state of mind that they accomplish when they live with their own kind. Those dogs are definitely the ideal state of mind dog. It doesn't matter what breed they are, you know, Rottweilers, Pit Bulls, German Shepherds, Malteses, Chihuahuas. It doesn't matter. A state of mind is a state of mind.
Do you think it's possible for people to love their dog too much?
No. I think it's possible for people to only love a dog and not do the way dog wants to be loved. I don't think it's never too much. I think it's part of your fulfillment, you know, as a dog lover. But I think it's very important to fulfill your partner's needs. And your partner's needs are not just love, you know. They have physical needs, they have psychological needs, they have emotional needs. A lot of people just focus on affection, affection, affection. So if you mean that kind of relationship, yeah, that's not healthy.
Well, let me just ask one very specific question, which I'm sure is quite common for dog owners, and that's letting a dog sleep on your bed. Anything wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with it. As long as you invite him into your environment or into your space, I think is good etiquette for you and for the dog. It's when the dog invites himself to it. There, many times people have problems going to their own, you know, to their bed or to their couch. This is when a dog becomes dominant or territorial, you know, when he feels that he owns it because he did it on his own. Nobody told him to go. But the people who invite the dog on it, they don't have a problem with it. It's the people who allow the dog to invite themselves. Those are the people that are going to have a problem. They can't get up, go to the bathroom, or the husband can come back to the bed or come to the bed if a dog is already there. Or the wife, you know, if a dog is attracted to the husband and the dog becomes, that's it, the bed is full. My partner is here and nobody else can come in. So I see that often. You know, if you can share your whole entire house with a dog, I think it's fantastic. But don't forget that you have to let him know that belongs to you, because this is how they do it. You know, they just claim tools and they claim toys and they claim the food and they claim couches and beds and everything. It's all about, you know, claiming and who owns it. And that's very important to them. You know, it gives them a sense of direction and understanding.
So if your dog does have a tendency to want to be dominant, how do you deal with that?
Well, you definitely need a professional for that, because you don't want to get hurt by it. You know, you don't want to trigger more power, meaning the dog can start growling and showing teeth. Doesn't mean he's going to bite, but it can eventually get into that position. And so if you have already a dominant dog, a territorial dog, it's best to consult the professional. So the professional gives you, okay, this is the approach we got to take. Your intensity is not, you know, assertive enough in order for you to just, with presence alone, to send him to a submissive state. Most of the work that I do is very presence, you know. It's all about energy. The touch, the physical touch, is not something that I do often. My no touch, no talk, no eye contact rule is really what I follow. Let the dog come to me. Let him know that I am a calm, assertive energy. When I come to people's home, the dog doesn't know that people call me the dog whisperer. You know, the dog doesn't know that my name is Cesar Milan. The dog doesn't know that I'm from Mexico. What he knows is my scent and my energy and how I enter into his space and how I take over. I just don't get fearful around aggressive dogs.
Does this sometimes require you to be physically dominant over that other dog? I mean, basically to show them your boss and, you know, maybe like forcing them to go on their back?
If that's the step it needs to be taken, it might. You know, we have to go into that physical conversation, but we can't go into a physical conversation without the dog getting that I am calm, assertive energy first. I can't do physical conversation if I'm nervous. I can't do physical conversation if I am anxious or fearful or angry, because that doesn't make an animal surrender. You know, animals don't follow unstable pack leaders, only humans. So I know if I am in an unstable state, if I use physical touch, I only gonna increase the bad behavior. I'm not going to block the bad behavior.
Well, I want to follow up on that, because there are, I mean, anyone who watches your TV show just marvels at what you do. I mean, how you're able to get a dog to do what you want him to do. I mean, it's amazing. But there are other dog trainers out there who say, you know, don't do it like Cesar. You know, just focus on positive reinforcement. Sort of the criticism that you'll sometimes hear about your techniques is that you're sort of throwing your weight around and, you know, you're always, you know, having to prove that you are a pack leader. How do you deal with that? Those complaints.
Well, I mean, they're right about not doing it like Cesar, because I am a professional and my show is not a how-to-do show. You know, every dog that I work with, I tailor certain behavior, a certain strategy for that particular dog. And so in that aspect, you know, I'm with them. You know, don't try that at home. But in regard of leadership, but leadership is part of being pack-oriented species. We need pack leaders, you know, but we need balanced pack leader. And positive reinforcement is not always food. Positive reinforcement, to me, represents bringing something that can help you to achieve what you want. Not every dog eats food. Not every dog gets motivated with food. So what are we going to do with them? You know, and sometimes dog get motivated by another dog. So I bring a dog. And some, you know, I study the environment. I work with what I have in the environment. You know, that to me is positive. You know, changing certain things in the house that I see that dog can be influenced by, that to me is positive. The most positive thing that I can do for a dog is to train his human. You know, I don't think they ever mentioned, you know, that I train humans. You know, I don't train dogs. I train humans and I rehabilitate dogs by transforming their humans. So that to me is very, very positive, because it doesn't matter how much food you give to the dog. If you do it at the wrong time, you can actually nurture the wrong behavior with food.
Do you ever worry that someone watching your show will try to emulate what you do to impose their physical presence on their dog? And, you know, I mean, I guess the question would be whether, you know, that someone sort of watches you do what you do and that turns into an excuse for someone to kind of throw their dog around. I mean, is that a danger at all?
That is dangerous. Of course, this is not a how-to-do show. But when people see me grabbing a dog, put him in the ground, it's a very, very delicate thing that I'm doing. It's something that I have done for a long time. So it's not just, I'm just going to throw the dog on the ground and it looks like I'm in the top of him and, you know, it looks horrible. But, you know, if you see dogs, especially if you go to a dog park, you see how they pin each other down and, you know, they, even though they're playing in some situations, you see the physical touch, the physical manipulation. So it's something the only professionals or those who agree with that kind of conversation should try it, because it can backfire on you if you do it wrong.
One final question, which you probably have already touched on, but I'll sort of ask in a more point-blank way. If you could just name one thing that you see as the most common problem that dog owners do, one big mistake, what would it be?
They fulfill their needs first before they fulfill the needs of a dog. That's a very common, and that leads to problems. Hopefully, eventually, we get some parks where humans can learn to connect with Mother Nature the way it was meant to be.
Cesar Milan is the dog whisperer. His latest book, written with Melissa Jo Peltier, is A Member of the Family, Cesar Milan's Guide to a Lifetime of Fulfillment with Your Dog. Steve Paulson spoke with him.